comprehend. And we believe that tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank y'all for coming. We have some flyers there on the book table that shows when our next service is, so just grab one. Haven't updated one. This is our last one on the flyer. But we'll be back October 27th, I believe. 27th we'll be here in Kingwood. This is my friend Jerry's church. Definitely an upgrade from where we were before, right? It's like we can, I don't know, 300, Ryan? 400 you can fit in here, I think. Yeah. And anyway, it's right off the freeway. It's nice. No driving up 1960 where we were. And it's just a blessing to see what God's done. When's the last time I seen you?
That was back in... Before COVID, yeah, 2019.
Okay.
2018, yeah.
You had to be 2018 because that's the last time we're in the 18. Building. Yeah, and that was crazy. That's crazy. It's been a while. It's been a while. But God has been doing some wondrous things. We've been moving, and we've been... Hey, Ryan, check on your phone. Make sure the audio is coming through. Just testify. We've been traveling. So 2018, we were asked to leave our building. They sold it to someone else or gave it to someone else. And that was like a crazy time because you're trying to figure out. But let me tell you what happened. After that.
They sold it to someone else.
Okay,
gave it to someone else.
Thank you. After they asked us to leave the building, you know, of course, I was disappointed. I was sad. We painted it, right? We put it together. We got it running. We had 150 people and 150 different people at times because once you got healed, why do you got to come back? So, but I appreciate you coming back. And it was crazy, but I was on a flight back home from my first mission trip in 2018 to Mexico. So many miracles, so many healings. I mean, 50 people that had eye problems, 50 of them. All with correctional glasses and lenses. And the next morning, they all woke up healed. And I'm saying, what about me, Lord? But they're all on their last prescription, or they're all told they're going to go blind. So God definitely had to intervene for them. There's a lady that was blind. She was healed that night instantly, but then those 50. But it was so many miracles that it was amazing. And I just felt God's presence fall on me. And I said, Lord, I don't need a building. I just seen that show. Was it the Ringling Brothers one with what's his name, Wolverine dude? I just seen that one. And the greatest show on earth, right? And I just seen that. I'm like, yeah, I don't need a building. I just can take this show on the road. So from 2018 till today, it's almost what, six years of traveling the world, and just Dubai, Germany, Argentina, Mexico, Peru, Nicaragua, Chile, just all these places going. And I think I'm sharing this to you so you can know. God has a plan. God has a purpose. You can get mad when things happen, but it's better to be glad that God has his hand on you. But tonight I want to talk to you about belief. Belief is our theme today. I want to talk about that. I'll read some scriptures. You know, I have them all written down, but first thing I want to say is, I am not the healer. Amen. Jesus is the healer. I am a believer. I want you to get this. You are believers. I am a believer. The Bible says, these signs shall follow those that believe. So every testimony you see today, or hear today, everything I share to you, it is because I'm a believer. There's nothing special about me except I believe that God is God, that he is the one that saved us by sending his son. So I'm a believer, and I want you to know that everything I'm talking about, you can do as well in faith by believing. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, with the evidence of things not seen. 11:6, Hebrews says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe that he is. Believe that he is. I was recently in Argentina. I actually go to Argentina on Saturday. I was recently there, and the thing that I always have a shirt that says, God is good, right? It says, God is good. And if you're going to grow up in American churches, you hear, God is good. And then the crowd says, all the time. And then you say, all the time. God is good. Try and teach that in Africa, not so much.
try and teach it in India is a little bit more tough too. And at Dubai, the same thing. And mainly Dubai, mainly in Indian churches as well. So today I changed it to this. And even Argentina was a little different. Spanish, trying to get them to understand it. I changed it to this, and that is, God is God. And when you do, it changed the atmosphere. I was preaching in front of 3,000 people. Now, not often do I get a crowd that big in missions and stuff, because we were just doing small groups or just inside churches, but this was a huge church, 3,000 people. And I went up there, and I said, you know what we're going to do? God. And I just said, God is God. I did it about four or five times. And the atmosphere in the room changed before I preached. I just walked into it. I didn't have to try and work it up. I mean, the praise and worship helps, but I just walked in there like God just walked in the door. God is God. It changes things when you think of it. But believing that God is who he says he is, that's important. Now, Jesus tells us in the scripture, in John 4:50, it's a story. If you have your Bible, you can. It's okay, but I have the scripture. Remember the story about Jesus telling the people when they're following him, and he was feeding them, and they're following him, and he was feeding them. He says, "You follow me not for the miracles, but you follow me for the food." And they question him about that. Well, he goes, "Because you don't believe. Unless you see a miracle, you don't believe." And they go, "Well, how can we believe?" They asked him in verse 49. "How can we believe?" They see miracles happen in front of them, but they're still not believing. Jesus said this to them. He said, Jesus said to them, "Go thy way." He says to them in John 6, he says, "You must first believe on him that sent me. And you must believe on the works that he sent," which was Christ. We have to believe that God is God. And then we have to believe in Christ, that he is full authority, full power, all the strength that we need, all the miracles, all the healings. When we believe in that, we're dangerous. I think the most powerful words anyone can tell any of us can have in our life is belief on God. Because that makes you dangerous. That makes the power of God with you. That makes the power of God alive in your life. Remember the nobleman that Jesus talked to? There was a nobleman that came to Christ. And when he came to Christ, he says, "Come to my son or he will die." And Jesus said, "Unless you see a miracle, you don't believe." He's just testing him, I think. And then he says, "No, come to my house or my child must die." And then Jesus said, "Go back to your home. Your son will be well." The Bible says that immediately, it says, the man believed what Jesus said. And it happened for him. And the son was healed. You look at the things here, and if you look at Mark 16:17-18, "And these things shall follow them that believe. And by name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." It didn't say a preacher. It didn't say an evangelist. It didn't say a minister. It said, if you believe in my name, if you believe in me, then these things will follow you. Oh, God is good. Amen. But God is God. He's God. When you look at the scriptures, you look at everything that's there, you see how God just tells us to believe. You wonder how, when, where are these miracles going to hit? Where are they going to happen? Where, when? And I'm telling you, when you fully believe, I think it's in Mark that Jesus tells him about the fig tree. And then when they go to the fig tree, he tells it to wither and die because he wanted fruit and there was no fruit. And then he comes back maybe a week later, who knows? It was a short trip they came back through. And guess what? The fig tree was gone. The disciples, I think it was Peter, that jumped up and said, "Look, Lord," and he's pointing to it. It's gone. It's withered away. You spoke words. And then Jesus looked to them. And I believe he kind of said it like by surprise, because these guys seem blind eyes open. They seem deaf ears open. Lazarus raised from the grave. I mean, how much stronger impact can you have? And then they looked at him, and Jesus looked at him and probably was a little disappointed that all the things should have made them believe something. And he looked at him, don't you know your words? And he started teaching them on the words, but then he said, when he looked at them, have faith in God. When we believe, we have faith in God. When we believe the impossible can be done. When he said, have faith in God, he turned around and started teaching them. He said, don't you know that your words are powerful? They can move mountains. They can pick up that mountain and throw it into the sea. Don't you know how powerful your words are? And then he says, if you believe. If you believe. And I looked it up in different translations, and I think the Amplified or the NIV had it. If you really believe. So I challenge everyone that's watching and that's here that you need to believe. Believe. When you believe, God makes things possible. On my post, one of the posts the other day I put on social media, I put, believe. You bring your faith, amen. I'll bring my anointing, and God will do something. I started noticing things change as I travel to different places. There's this time, and it still happens, that people get healed when they met me. We're at an airport. I'm just flying into Peru. You know, I have a rule, and it started in India, because I didn't want to get kidnapped or anything while I was out there. I mean, big guy, they say like 6 of y'all to drag me in. But I never leave the airport unless the person I've been communicating with has set me up and told me who's picking me up or is at the airport. So Pastor Albert was supposed to pick me up. I'm sitting there. I don't speak that great of Spanish in Peru. I know how to order food. I know how to ask where the restroom's at. That's probably about my length in Spanish. But he wasn't there. I'm waiting. Nobody's there. I'm waiting 30 minutes. I don't see anyone. I go, I'm sure he's gonna be on his way. I mean, I'm sure he won't have his guests wait for an hour. But an hour went by. He wasn't there. I don't have a SIM card. For those that travel, you understand. I didn't have any data. And back then, it wasn't where you could just turn on and have your phone. Now it's different. You can just turn on your phone. And, you know, at least it works, even though you might get charged something more. Or they have plans you can buy. So I'm over there, standing there waiting. And this really nice older man comes up, real dressed, good looking fella, comes up to me and he goes, Dr. Yannis, he's in Spanish. So I was like, yeah. He goes, let's go. Let's vamos. Let's go. And I'm like, I don't know you. I don't. I go, you seem like a nice guy and I can feel the spirit of God on you, but I'm not going nowhere. I will not go unless I hear from Albert. And he's like, Albert sent him. I go, well, that's what most kidnappers say. And I'm using Google Translate, so I probably offended him. I have no idea. I'm like, that's the first thing my mom sent you, or my dad sent you, whatever. I've seen all the stories. I watch a lot of SVU. But so I was like, okay, I can't go. And then he goes, give me a minute. He went out and started making calls. What do you know that Albert, the pastor that invited me, set up the whole event? You know how the houses are built in other countries. It's all cement, including the stairs is all cement coming down. He fell down the stairs. He tore up his leg. He needed to go to the hospital. He called this guy and said, I'm on my way to the hospital. Can you go pick up Dr. Yannis? He's our speaker for the next 2 weeks. Can you go get him? And they're like, sure. But he gets to the hospital. He's in his car. And he's like, okay, David's taken care of. Let me get my leg taken care of. He's bleeding through his sock. It's torn through his skin. His bone's sticking out. And he's concerned. He just wants to go to the emergency care to get that taken care of. He gets there. And guess what? God will always take care of you. Amen. God knows your habits as well. Amen. He goes, he turned off the car and God spoke to him. He said, what are you doing? He goes, Lord, I'm going inside me. My leg's bleeding. I need to get medical attention. He goes, no, you're not. He goes, why? He goes, Dr. Yannis needs to get picked up. He goes, yeah, David needs to be picked up. He goes, Lord, I got someone there. They're picking him up. They go, you don't know my son. That's what God said. That's what he told me that God said. You don't know my son. He will sleep in that airport. if you don't go pick him up yourself. That's how he's trained. That's how I have him. Go get him. He just jumped in the car, getting turned on, took off. He was so excited when he told me the story in front of everybody at the church the next day. He said, I thought I was going to pick up Jesus. He said, my son. So he went as fast as he could there. And as he went there, he's talking to the Lord. And he goes, well, I have someone pick him up. He goes, go get my son. Oh, I'm so glad that God calls me son. Amen. Aren't you glad he calls you daughter? Aren't you glad he calls you son? He knows who you are. It is more than just worshiping and praising. It's a personal walk with God. He gets to the airport, and I already have my bags and everything. I'm on one of those carts, just leaning on the cart. He comes walking there. Oh, there's Albert. I wave at him. I'm gonna start pushing. Okay, we go now. Come on, we can go. Now, come on, Fernando. That's his name, Fernando. And he's like, oh no, momento. We're gonna take a photo. I'm like, okay. He comes up, and he's just standing there, and I just give him a hug, you know, I hug him like that and say, oh, so glad to see you. So glad that, I mean, I'm fine, glad to meet you and see you again, see you. And he goes, oh, no problem. He didn't tell me anything about his leg. I give him a hug. Do you know the moment that I hugged him, his leg was healed? The moment I hugged him, the bone went back in, the skin closed. Only evidence of it was the blood on the socks. I guess God don't do laundry. That's okay. But he was healed. And we went to go get some, Pollo La Brasa. Oh, some good chicken, some char grill. Oh, so good. So when I got that, I fell in love with that dish after that. But God healed him. I was in Hawaii with my wife, her first time going, and they invited me. Now this all happened when the building shut down on us. These things start happening. And I went over there, we're landing in there. And this is just before the building was that we shut down on us. The pastor didn't know me, amen. But the people wanted me, and they see me on the Sid Roth episode, and they were like, we want to have them come. And they invited me, and they asked if I can bring assistants. So she goes, I'm your assistant. So I went to Hawaii, and it was nice. I'd never been on the Big Island. We come off the plane, and you know, I don't know if y'all been to Hawaii or you've experienced it, but they have those lays, right? And they put it over each person when they come in. They were usually. They used to do everybody in the visitor center used to do that years ago when I was in Navy. But no, it's like, you know, you got to buy the lay and take it for your own person and put it on. So they put one over Irene. My friend put it over Irene, our host, and she gave Irene a kiss on the cheek and said, you know, aloha. And I'm like, cool. And then Pastor Marsha, good friends, just gone to the Lord this last few months, strong woman of faith. She comes up to me and she went like this. She just threw it over me. Like she couldn't move her hand all the way up and it fell over me, the lay. And I'm like, and she goes, and she just put out her hand. Aloha, welcome. I was like, oh, aloha, well, thank you. I shook her hand. Do you know that for 3 months, she couldn't pick her hand up this high? Do you know that it was stiff and hurting when she met me? And she wasn't sure about me. She was like, I'm not sure about this guy, Lord. Cause you don't know who you bring to your pulpit at times. You know, you see him on the TV, you see him on this, but you don't know them personally. And she goes, and she shook my hand, and really when I shook her hand shook, and it just popped. And I looked at her, and she goes, she had a wonderful laugh. She does her little laugh that she had, and she goes, all right, that's settled. Amen. Let's go eat. God healed her right there in the spot. But I can tell everybody this, and this is something you need to know as well. That is, I love it when God introduces me. Amen. I love it. When God is the one that said, this is my son. He told that to Albert, Pastor Albert. I didn't say it to Albert, but he said it to Albert. Marsha had questions about me. Maybe this guy, who is this guy? I just don't know him. And that's fine, it's her church. She needs to have those questions. But God said, healed her right there. So I said, hey, that's, you know, she goes, okay, he's good. God's with him. God is with you. I've seen many miracles across the world here in the US as well. I have to tell you this again and again. I reiterate it. First of all, healings, miracles are easy. God does it all the time. And I get excited about it, but I don't get too excited because I see him all the time. Not that, oh, I see him all the time. No, I just know that it's not me. So when I don't get too excited, I can say I'm being humble. For me, I suppress anything because the more I decrease, the more God's going to increase in my life, in my ministry, and the things that we're doing. But the other thing, God's always with you. That's something you have to get in your spirit that God is always with you, no matter where you go, no matter where you're at home or you're going to work, he's with you. When I go into another country, I never worry. Oh, I hope someone gets healed. I walk in with faith, fullness of God, and say, God's with me. God's with me. I believe. It's important that you always remember, and even every day, wake up and say, Lord, I believe. Because sometimes it may be days till you get into church or fellowship or hear a song that gets you excited about faith. But it's good to tell God every day, I believe, Lord, that you could do this. I believe you have a plan for me. I believe things are going to change. I believe miracles are going to happen. Now, me, I have to stay in a constant level of just trusting God, traveling where I'm going, doing what I'm doing. I just trust God's going to take care of it because I believe. I believe. Now, there's another lady, a pastor as well, in Laredo, Texas. It's my second time visiting Laredo. And the first time I visited Laredo, I got testimonies of a man that was supposed to be dead. He was supposed to be dead. The doctor said he shouldn't even be alive. He lost 70, 80, 90 pounds, was so skinny. But I prayed for him the first time I went, and that was 2 years before that second visit. And he hit the ground when I prayed for him. Not that you hit the ground, but he did. And he woke up hungry. Amen. I've noticed that in faith. When you're going through something, you're sick and stuff, you start getting hungry. I think it's about to be over. It's true. My nephew, he was sick. My brother did not tell me that he was sick, and he's been sick all through a summer. And I said, Gabriel, that's my brother's name. I said, how long has this young man been sick? Oh, the whole summer. I go, Gabriel, you know I have a building. You know I have people come every month to my building. You know where my building's at. Why didn't you bring him to my building? Or why didn't you call? I would come and pray for him. He was sick to the point where he was in the hospital, and he couldn't eat anymore. And it was like it was eating his body. So he was getting so sick. I prayed for him. I had him come up, and when I went to put my hands on him, let me tell you this. When I went to put my hands on him, you know how that cold rain feels outside sometimes? Like you have your door open, you have to go shut the door in your car or the window in the car or the shutters or whatever. You have like a screen door, porch, you have to go shut it because that cold rain's coming in from the wind. That's how it felt on my stomach. It just started hitting me. And the last time I felt like that was a guy had a hernia in San Diego. And he said, I have a hernia. And he picks up his shirt. I'm like, sweet Jesus, put that away. First of all, I don't want to see it. Second of all, I don't want to touch it. And then God says, touch it. I'm like, no. That's before I brought gloves. Now I have gloves. I don't mind doing that now. I have gloves with me for those situations. Makes you comfortable, makes me comfortable. And I was like, oh, sweet Jesus. I'm not even touching it. I'm like, I'm already getting all sick before I even get to it. And then rain started falling on my stomach in San Diego. That cold rain. And I looked at his hernia. It was gone. I didn't even touch it. And I'm like, oh, I'm such a baby. God was going to take care of it before I even had to touch it. And he did. God knows what he has. Amen. So, same thing with Josiah. I put my hand there, and I felt that cold rain. I was like, because it happened before, I knew it was going to happen again. And I smiled. I said, Josiah, God's taking care of this. It's all gone. This thing is never going to be a problem. You're not going to have a problem. You're going to eat after this service, and you're going to be fine. And I touched his stomach. And he just fell back, and they caught him, and he stood up. I said, you're going to be fine. I gave him a hug. We went to go eat at this little seafood place right off of I-10 near Katy. Looked like a boat-looking thing. We went over there, and we ate. And we're eating, and then I kept watching him, and he's eating a bowl of gumbo. And I'm eating, you know, my fish platter. And I look at him, and he goes, can I have that? I go, yeah, I have whatever you want on my plate. He ate a couple of things on my plate. Then he reached for my brother. My brother growls when he eats. So he didn't share his food. Then he goes, man, I'm still hungry. I go, order what you want. And my brother's like, hey, I'm paying. Don't order what you want. I was like, I got some offering money. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. Just order what you want. I give you cash. He's like, okay. He ate whatever he wanted. He goes, I don't know why you're putting food on my nickname's Boo. He goes, I don't know why you're getting food, Boo. He's just going to throw it up. I go, we can't talk like that. We can't believe like that. We have to believe that he's healed. You see, when you pray in faith, you got to believe in faith that God did it. And he went, did go to the restroom. He did go. And he came back and he was smiling. And I go, what happened? He goes, nothing. I said, praise God. And in the morning, they came to the morning service. And when they got to the morning service, my brother comes up to me. you're gonna have to give me money now for this kid. I'm like, what? He wants two McGriddles and the breakfast platter now. You see, your body wants to eat. Your body is hungry. I prayed for a lady in Mexico, her name's Carla. And she had a lot of different things wrong with her. And one thing, we're sitting down and she felt like she wasn't healed for this, wasn't healed for that. You ever around a person like that? Well, I know you prayed, but I said, you got to believe. And then I noticed something though, the first night. She's really skinny lady, right? And she's sitting beside me and she's knocking out those enchiladas quicker than I can. And I'm like, yeah, this girl can eat. And then we go to a restaurant with the uncle and he picks me up, and her mother and my host as well, because we're using their house. They go to the restaurant. And we're at a restaurant. I y'all know me. I can eat tacos. So I ordered all the tacos I wanted and I ordered a couple of flautas, even the meat with the fried meat around it. So I'm eating that and stuff. That girl goes through her plate and orders another plate. I'm not even finished with my plate. I'm like, man. And I said, and she goes, well, I wasn't healed. I'm like, Carla, now let's look at this. Did you ever eat like this before you met me? Oh, no. I'm were they anorexic? She says, that's how she was. She says she wouldn't eat. She had no appetite. When mom makes her eat, she would go throw it up. I go, have you gone throwing it up? She goes, no, I just want more food. God does something in you and you don't even know it. But I recognize it through the appetites, that when there's something like that, that they would eat and stuff. But so when I was at in Laredo, I seen this, were picking me up at the airport. It's family, I've known them from the first visit, my second visit, I think. And we're gonna go with, they call me the Indian pastor because all the voices I made for India, all my services, and they would call me. And anyway, they go, oh, it's the Indian pastor. I'm like, I'm not Indian. I'm American dude, I'm not. Anyway, whatever, I'm Native American, or indigenous, what do they call it though? Indigenous. So anyway, I go over there and I notice my friend, Sandra, the pastor's wife, and she's also the pastor as well. She was just really out of it. Normally she's bubbly and she's all talking about this and we're gonna do this. And she's the one that kind of drives everything. And Ronaldo, her husband, he's just as excited. These are two, they're not opposite. They're energetic people. So I don't know how they survive. You need someone to bring them down a bit, but they're always doing things. And she wasn't herself. And I gave her a hug, talked to the kids, spent time with the kids, walking to the car. And I noticed she was laboring. And I go, so we got in the car. We're in like a truck with the back seats and everything, big truck. And I'm like, Sandra, what's been going on? She goes, oh, you gotta forgive me, brother. I hadn't gotten your room ready at the hotel. I didn't bring you a gift basket. I didn't get anything. I just been so tired. I've been getting migraines. And these migraines have been keeping me up, but I can't sleep. I go, sweetie, how long's that been like that? She goes, oh, I'm going on my third month and I still gotta get Thanksgiving stuff planned now. I'm like, don't worry about it. God's gonna heal you right now. And she goes, what? Actually, I said, she told me 3 months. I go, God's gonna heal you. Give me your hand. She goes, what? I go, give me your hand. Now, you know how every airport has a little thing you gotta put the ticket in and the arm comes up? Well, Pastor Ronaldo was fumbling around for the ticket. And I'm talking to her. I said, give me your hand. And he doesn't even know what's going on. And I just held her hand. And I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. I said, devil, you're a liar. You've bothered my sister for too long. She's going to be healed right now of that migraine, and she's going to go home and take a nap and have the best nap she needs, and she'll take an even better sleep in the evening when it's time to go to bed. I said, in Jesus' name. And I held her hand, and then Ronald was like, hey, what's going on? I go, just keep driving. So we get to the thing before he put the ticket in, before the little hand thing came up, guess what? She goes, brother, I'm healed. I said, really? Amen. I said, praise God. She goes, I'm healed. I feel no more pain. And she goes, as soon as you drop off, I'm gonna go get your stuff at the store. But no, you don't fuss about me. I go. I can take care of myself. I'm fine. Don't worry. I go. I know where Walmart is. But best of all, I know where all the time places are. So I'm good. They got a lot of them in Laredo. You try to hit them all when you go there. You go. And I guess what? I ran into some friends I made out there. They actually are the chefs for most of the taco places. So I go to one restaurant and they tell them where I'm gonna be, and I'm getting all this food. It's so good. But so she was healed. She was healed. Did we go and preach to her? No. Did I go and do a long prayer? No. I just believed. That is all miracles are going to do. There's this young boy, and he's a child, and I don't know if you've seen some of my posts on Facebook, but he has a blue pants on, and And it's a picture on my website. And on my website, you can see it as well, if you're not on my Facebook. Now, I was going through the line, praying for people with flat feet, you know, no arches. And you would imagine how many people in the world have flat feet, my goodness. And that's fine, because I don't want to be called the foot doctor, praise the Lord. But my sister, she's like my sister in Hawaii. We're calling each other brother and sister all the time. She calls me, the foot doctor's here to pray for you, which she introduces me. Anyway, let me tell you, hundreds of people, I wouldn't even say thousands, I can say thousands of people have gotten their arches. I have some stories about that in a minute. But anyway, I was going through the line, and I haven't put chairs up front. And you'll see on the videos, all the way down, there's chairs. And I will go and I'll have everybody with flat feet come take a seat. Only people with flat feet. So then a lot of people always try and sneak in to get their prayer. I'm going to pray for you, but I got a method to this madness, okay? And the method is this. If I can show you how God heals, a simple thing. Because if there was a tree, and I'm not saying there's a tree, so those online, don't go crazy. I'm not saying there's a tree. I'm just saying if there was a tree that was a healing tree, right? And everything you can pull down, you get healed. The flat feet would be the one I could just grab right there on the tree. Because you know why? It happens all the time. It happens all the time. No place have I gone where I haven't seen it. I can tell you that. God, I've seen some people, it's worse. I mean, they look like boards on their feet. But God healed them. A little bit coming up, a little bit. But according to their faith as well, amen? It's according to your faith. Now, the Spirit of God goes to and fro. Do this in the service. The Bible says it goes through the whole earth. Go to and fro. Searching man's heart. This is where you believe. This is not what you believe. You believe in your heart. It's what the Lord says when we confess in our heart and believe that Jesus was raised, that died for us, and Jesus was raised from us. Then we're saved. Amen? If we call on the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. So, anyway, I'm going through a line. I can see right there, as I'm walking through, guess what? God's ready to healing people. I'm not praying for anyone. I'm not even preaching anymore. I'm just walking the aisle. I'm just walking. And then I look and I see this little boy. He already had his arches. So, of course, I think, does he have flat feet? The dad goes, yes. Of course, translator. I go, okay. He goes, but he has more problems. He has more problems with his legs. I go, okay, well, I seen the arches already there. So I'm like, okay. So if God healed that, God can heal whatever other problem it is. I said, so what's wrong with him? And he goes, what's wrong with his legs? He can't walk. I'm like, well, that's kind of a big problem. This kind of thing you want to lead off with is your son can't walk. He goes, he can't walk well, or he just doesn't walk. No, he doesn't. He'll stand and fall right on his face. But in that moment, in that second, I don't know if it was a millisecond or a second, I just grabbed the kid's hand. I said, let me borrow your key. My spirit believed. I knew it. I said, come on. I grabbed this kid. He falls with his legs really spread out like this tripod in front of me, like that. I said, no, that's not how you're supposed to stand. And I shook him like a bedroom sheet, like twice. And he lands, both feet in front of him. I said, now let's walk. And you can see him walking in this picture with me, just like that, walking. That young man never walked in his life. And God healed him. But you know what? I had confidence and faith on that. I just believed it. I didn't think about it. I think Smith Workers was the one that said, if you have to think about it, you might as well stop praying. Just God heals. You don't do anything. Just follow what God tells you to do. And so, just a year ago in Argentina, about the same time right now, I was out there preaching in a place called Salta. And I was preaching over there, and they brought me two children. The dads brought them. And one child never stood before, never walked. In fact, his legs looked so limp like this when they picked him up. They're just swinging when they picked him up. I said, give me the child. He gave me the child. I held the child in just my arm for a few minutes. And I said, okay. We put him down, he's standing. And his dad's crying. I said, let's walk. So I've learned this in all the places I've gone. If the mother brings him, it's a little more traumatic. So I like, take the baby. I said, come on, let's go walking. And the mother, if she brings the child, she's crying on the floor. Oh, my baby, where are you taking my baby? You know what I'm doing? I'm praying for the kid. I'm not going to walk out the door with it. So I go over there. And I walk with the baby, and they would walk. This child was brought by the dad, so I said, okay, he's gonna be cool. So, and those kids cry, and they claw you and everything, trying to go back. And I just made him walk with me, and the first kid walked naturally, no problem. walked back to his dad, and he was all excited. And then, so that was a miracle. So I seen that happen. And then the next child, it was a process, because sometimes healings happen right there. Miracles happen right there, instantly. And then there's times, there are times when it takes a day, when it takes a week, when it takes a month. And I've seen that happen. In India, I was preaching in, Sambalpur? I was preaching in Sambalpur, Heraku. I was preaching, and they had this lady come in at the last minute. You know, I'm like, this is the last thing I got to do before I get on my plane. So anyone need prayer? Nobody need prayer. I was like, cool. I'm going to go straight to my plane, get me on the car, get something to eat. And I'm going to walk out. And they go, wait, we got one. And I'm like, looking, I don't see anyone. And it's behind the chairs on the floor. This lady's laying in a bed. And we're like, well, I guess a stretcher, more like a stretcher. And I go, oh, what's wrong with her? They go, she can't walk. She can't stand. She's paralyzed. And at first I was like, oh, I got a clean getaway. But now I got to work. I'm like, okay. I'm like, you know, when you start to think about it, like I said, just don't even do it. But I just looked and I said, I spoke the word of God to her. I said, you will live and not die. In 1 week, you're going to start to stand. In 2 weeks, you're going to begin to move your legs. And on the third week, you'll walk through these church doors and talk about the goodness of God. 3 weeks later, they said she just walked through. That is what God does. But you have to believe. I think that's why the Lord says, these things shall follow you. Not that these things are going to go in front of you. They shall follow you if you believe. If you believe, you're going to see miracles happen. You're going to see deliverance happen. You're going to see provision coming in if you believe. So those miracles were amazing. Sandra getting healed was amazing. That little boy walking was amazing. Just seeing all those things. And those miracles were just, it made it easy for me to see how God works. During that same trip, when Sandra got healed at the airport, her husband, Ronaldo, one of my best friends, was making some tea for me, hot tea. Just cut my throat. I need some honey and some lemon, something like that, ginger. And he dropped the glass. Well, you know that hot tea's scalding hot. That water is hot. It went from his elbow to his wrist. He poured it on himself. And I can hear him inside in the kitchen, something breaking there. I thought I heard a woman scream, but it was Ronaldo. Went in there, and he's trying to man it up. He comes out with his other hand. He has a tea for me. He goes, here, brother, here's your tea. They're going to pick you up in a few minutes, the new translator, because I have to go to the hospital. I was like, you have to go to the hospital? What happened? He goes, no, I don't want to tell you. I just want you to go preach. I don't want you to worry about me. I go, Ronaldo, I'm here. God's anointing is with me. What happened? Oh, he started crying, telling me about his hand and stuff, and I'm like, okay, it's okay. He started crying. I don't know what they're gonna do skin stuff or whatever. I'm like, shh, it's okay. So I'll put my hand. Ryan, come up here real quick. If you can move. We're gonna pray for Ryan in a bit. He's been through a car accident, and God's healing him in surgery. So this is Ronaldo. Is he on the camera?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Ronaldo, this is Ryan, but this is, we'll just say he's Ronaldo. He put his hand, I said, give me your hand. And this was right hand, his dominant hand. I put my right hand right on his hand like this. I never looked at the burns. I just automatically did this. I said, in Jesus' name, I command this arm healed. No more burns. Now, and I picked up my hand. And he said, as soon as I picked up my hand, he said, brother, I'm healed. There's nothing there. I'm like, praise God. He goes, do you know your hand was bigger? It was bigger. I go, amen. He goes, no, you have big hands, but it was bigger than that. And it covered me. And when you picked up your hand, all the heat, like the Vicks vapor that you rub on me sometimes, just went into your hand. Oh, Jesus is good. And all that heat, everything that was hurting him was left. It went on Christ. Doesn't the Bible say that he bore all our sickness? It said he bore. What does bore mean? He wore it. He applied it on himself. Every sickness was gone. And he came in, and like I tell everybody this when I preach, I say, Jesus is the persona of healing. He is healing. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible says that the Word is healing to our bones, even down to asunder to our bones, our blood, that God is, Jesus is the healer. So when I walk in front of people, when I pray for people, when I walk through the aisle, Jesus is walking through the aisle. When I laid hands on Ronaldo, Jesus was healing Ronaldo. That was his hand that came in. That's one of the most amazing miracles, instantly ones that I've seen. When I was I was at a wedding. My cousin getting married, they asked me to do the service. I'm retired, but little cousin, you can never say, oh, no, this little cousin, he's real sweet. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. So we went over there, and I'm retired from doing weddings and funerals. But anyway, I went over there, and all my cousins were sitting on tables, similar to those tables over there. And where is this, in Conroe? Yeah, this was in Conroe. And we were over there talking, and I'm sitting over there, and I'm talking to my cousins. They know what I do. They know I'm a man of God, and I'm a preacher. And I'm always trying to get them to rattle them a little bit so they can come back to God. So anyway, but half the table were with the Lord, half the table just doing what they always do. So, and I was telling my cousins about the flat feet people that I went to this place in to have at a friend's house to have dinner, and they're serving my favorite thing, tacos. And the lady that was translating, she had flat feet. And I said, I shared testimonies of people around the world getting healed of flat feet. In South Africa, a young girl came from the nursery. She was taking care of the nursery. Nobody else was there. But, you know, as far as getting need to pray for, we're prayed for everybody. She went up there, put a chair there, and said, what do you need? She goes, I have flat feet. I'm like, okay, let's do this. Took off her shoes, just touched her feet for a minute, and listened to see the arches come in. She ran into me the next day and said, you don't know how much that helped me. You don't know how much that freed me. You don't know how much that blessed me. Do you know that when you have flat feet, you don't have your arches, a lot more pain comes in your back, a lot more pain comes in your hip, your sciatic nerve acts up, stuff like that. So this is important for that to be healed. And that was amazing. And that she got healed. And I told her different stories. And I shared to my friends. I'm going to show you who that is at the end that we're sharing to. But the translator, well, I have flat feet. I go, take off your shoes. She's like, no. And I was like, yeah, take them off. You got to take them off or you want them healed so I can see what's going on. And she took off her shoes. She had arches. No need to pray for her. We're just sitting there talking. Heal. So, and we need to pray for her. Her dad just died, that translator. I just found out yesterday that they just died. Keep her in prayer. And then we went, her name's Monica. And then, so I was with my cousin, and she tells me, Cousin David, I have severe flat feet all my life. I go, Cousin Jen, I never knew that. She goes, yeah, I've had it all my life. I'm like, well, come on. Let's look at it. She goes, oh, no. You gotta look at my feet. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm going to take them off, or you're going to take them off. You decide. She's like, okay. So she took off her shoes, and guess what? Just talking there, in the presence of God, speaking about God, healed. Arches came in, healed. That's what God does. That's what God does. When I was traveling, I was on a cruise. My friend brought another friend to the cruise, and this is when I was doing these Igniter Next Wave, is what we call them, and people that were sick or needed some marriage prayer or whatever, they just come on this trip with us, and we'll figure it out. We'll do something. We didn't have an event center there or anything, but we just met in the lounges and prayed and talked about God, and people were getting healed. But before the thing, you know, I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise, but you know how everybody's hustling and bustling, trying to get to their stateroom, and then go straight to go eat something. That's how it always happens. Or you eat something until your stateroom's ready, and then you run to your stateroom and then go eat something again. That's pretty much how, well, we heard it. It's like, we got to lose 5 or 6 pounds before we're gone. Oh, by the way, I lost a lot of weight since you last saw me. Yeah. This is my Argentina shirt, and I'm going back and promoting it. So, I'm over there, and the odds, and if you've been on a cruise, the odds of running into someone you know in an elevator on the first day is tremendous. I mean, because everybody's jamming those elevators. Everybody's trying to force themselves in. And I'm going to meet her up at the Lido deck, and I'm walking, I'm going to the elevator, and there was my friend and Cynthia. And they're just standing there, and they're like, hey, Dr. Yana. So I knew one of them, so I gave one of them a hug, and he said, hey, how are you doing and stuff? She goes, this is my friend Cynthia. She came for a healing too. I'm like, oh, cool. And I think they're from Chicago. I said, nice to meet you, Cynthia. She goes, nice to meet you too. And she just smiles really big, and she goes, I'll see you at dinner. I go, yeah, and I got to my room, my floor, and I said, okay, I'll see you at dinner. So the first night, we try and meet for dinner, and we're all meeting for dinner. Small, well, about what, 12 of us there, maybe? And so we're just going around the table and everybody's saying their name. And I said, you don't have to say what you're here for because that's private. You may not want to share it, but you just at least share your name and let us know, you know, what you do or whatever. Just share just a few minutes. And we were around the whole table. What came to Cindy or Cynthia? Cindy, her name was Cindy. And it comes to Cindy and she goes, well, I just came with my friend here for this cruise and I really needed a healing. And my arm's been hurting me for years and I can never get it. You know, no matter what they do in surgery, they never get it right. And I'm still in this pain. I'm still in this hurting. And she goes, but I got to tell you something. I hope I don't get in trouble. That's what she said. I remember she goes, I hope I don't get in trouble. She goes, but when Dr. Yannis chipped my hand, I got my healing right there instantly. She goes, I hope I didn't jump the line. I don't know how this whole process is supposed to happen. And we all started cracking up, but I just gave her a hug. I said, praise God. She goes, I am completely healed. And you'll find me at the blackjack table. She was like, and that's why God healed her. When you believe, God can make things happen. The impossible can make things done. Remember when Jesus was talking to the rich man? And he said, well, what do I need to do? And Jesus told him, what do you need to do to follow him, to leave everything he has and come follow him? And the guy walked off like with total disbelief that he could not do what Christ had asked him to do. And the first thing Jesus said was, with man, it seems impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You gotta believe that. When I was visiting Mexico, and one of those trips, I did like three or four trips between that, the first trip, and when we were traveling now. And I was showing my phone, it was Barry's phone. I was showing my phone, and yeah, it was a galaxy at that time. And I was over there showing pictures of Hawaii, Alaska. You know, this is way after service. We're finishing eating tacos, and we're just hanging out. And I like showing a picture after picture after picture after picture. And everybody's kind of crowded around me looking at this. And this lady walks up, and she puts her hand on my shoulder. And she goes, you know how you do when you got to lean in to look? She's like leaning in real close, like my sister used to look at the phone like this. She would lean in like this, and then all of a sudden she just jumped and said something in Spanish. Again, remember, I don't know Spanish. My translator's not there. And everybody's in the corner jumping and screaming. I'm like, well, I guess nobody wants to see photos anymore. And then the translator comes in and goes, what happened? And they tell me, he goes, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. The lady had some really bad vision. I don't know if it was through cataract or blindness. But the moment she touched my shoulder to look at the pictures, her eyes opened and she was healed. Oh, wow. I was like, wow. You know, that's awesome. I thought that was really awesome. She was like jumping up and she kept hugging me, kissing me. It's old lady, don't worry. Anyway, she was like, oh, I'm so thankful that you came in Spanish and so grateful that you came. And that's what you do when you send me out. That's what my wife, when she allows me to take off and be gone for a couple of weeks and with my schedule. That's what happens. People get their healings. People get their miracles. People get delivered. It's amazing to see how God moves them. And the instant miracles, and I call those instant miracles, because you just don't even know. And they're getting healed, and God's moving in their life right there. It's nice. It's very nice to see that. Now, I was recently in, I don't know if you know, Eagle River, Wisconsin. It's up there by the lake, so like 27 lakes together. It's up there in Wisconsin. I was just there, and it was a good service. All they really have to eat much is steaks. Well, that's all I ate when I was there. It was good. But there's three miracles from there I wanted to share. One lady, young lady, was similar to my nephew's, the eating disorder. And she hadn't eaten, and she was more like my friend Christine. And I don't know if you know Christine's testimony, if you've seen it online, or if you heard me talk about it. Christine was a little girl, maybe 5 years old or so when I met her. My friend was hosting me. It was his house and that I was staying in South Africa at. And he said, I want to sow a seed in you, Pastor, because I want my daughter healed. I was like, amen. And I said, okay. So I said, whenever you feel led, you come to the front with your baby. And I'll pray for him. We have so many services, but whatever you feel on you that it's time, and this is the day, and you believe. I said, when you believe, we're going to do it. He's like, okay. So it's like maybe the second or third service I had while I was in South Africa. It was my first time going there at that time. And he comes up baby. It's his time. I'm like, all right, give me the baby. He gave me Christine. I said, hey, Christine. She has a really deep voice.
Hey, Dave.
I gave her a big old hug, and I said, in Jesus' name, you're healed. I gave it to Arno. Now, at one time, now, if you're a parent that brought someone that was severely hurting you, and remember, this is a disease that this girl had that she couldn't eat anything. And anything with certain things in it. So she had to have pre-made stuff, and they had to buy all these different things. And she got, it was horrible. It was tearing up the marriage, right? It was. This little girl was so disappointed. Imagine, you can have the birthday parties, the cakes, the ice cream, whatever the kids have. What's wrong with you? So psychologically, it's even hurting her as well. She was so sad, this little girl. And she's a beautiful little girl. And I said, okay, all right, she's healed. And I gave it back to her. And you know what? For a parent, he just said, amen. I believe it. He didn't say, well, that was kind of quick. Because I've had some people when I lay hands on them all over the world, I would just go, in Jesus' name, go, no, come back and pray again. I'm like, why? Because I want a longer prayer. I go, it doesn't matter. God's touched you. Well, I knew that they did believe. So I went ahead and I went home to their house, and they had KFC. Probably that's only, I had to eat a lot of KFC, McDonald's, and Burger King, because you'll find those around the world. Don't eat Subway. I'm telling you right now, India freaked me out about Subway. And then ever since then, I've not had Subway. I mean, because I'm like, what do you mean you don't have real turkey and you don't have real ham? Like, no, it's kind of, it's weird. But the pizza's really good. And so I went home, I'm eating my KFC, and they say, hey, David, can you watch Christine? We're going to run down the street and pick up our son at the nanny. I'm like, okay, cool. So I was like, yeah, of course. You know, I raised four kids. Little 5-year-old, I can handle this one. And she was meeting her pretty cool. So they take off. The minute they shut the door, she comes walking to the table. I'm hungry. I'm like, what? I'm hungry. I go, oh, well, I don't know what food they feed you. And she walks off with a piece of chicken. Now, this is where I found out, when they get an appetite, that they're healed. She walked off with my chicken. I'm like, no, you can't eat that. Well, she gave me back halfway eaten. I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to eat it now. And then she walked off. I said, you can't do that. I'm cleaning her hands. And she walks off, and again, but this time she takes my Coke, the bottle, and she's just chugging it down. I'm like, no, you can't have sugar. I know that for sure. You can't have sugar. We came back. And then all of a sudden, I got her. I put the soda up. I put my plate on the table where she can't reach it. And then I think I got everything. And then I seen the chocolate cake that someone came and brought me because their back was healed. And they're a baker, and they know I like chocolate cake. They brought this whole, I just see the cake going past the table. I'm like, oh, no, because she's short. She's holding it overhead. I'm like, you can't have that. I put it on the table, and I don't know how it happened, but she took a big old hand inside it and just eating that all up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, now this kid has chocolate here, chocolate there. I'm like, what do you do? So I went and got some wipes and said, just clean yourself as best as you can. Clean. She's already cleaning her face and everything. And then the door opens. She runs. I'm standing in front of the chocolate cake that's torn into, right? The parents come walking in. Prophet! We have plates and forks. You don't have to eat it with your hands. Because my hands all chocolatey from cleaning. And I'm like, it wasn't me. And then what do you mean? They're laughing. I go, it wasn't me. Where is she? And they ran to go find her. I go, I think she's in the family room. So they ran over there. And as they're running around, she's running to get the epi. He's running to go check the daughter. I'm over here eating my chicken and my mashed potatoes and my biscuit as fast as I can. I don't know if I'm going to jail. I don't know if the chick's going to die. So I'm like, oh, Lord. And it's like, they're going over there. They bring the pin to Arnold. Arnold looks at the baby, and they want her to give the shot. And Teresa said, give her the shot. I'm like, no. He goes, how long has it been? I'm like, 20 minutes. And then it's down 30 minutes. An hour. We just sat there. He's crying. My baby's healed the whole time. I believe my baby's healed. That baby was healed. Amen. In where Eagle River. There's a young girl, a teenager. I don't know how old, but she's a teenager. She came up, same disorder. But do you know that gold sparkles came all over her face, came all over her hands, came all over her body. People start saying, wow, there's gold. Now, that is the wonder of the Lord, amen? And I see it happen in my services all the time. I talk about it all the time. People get it in their hands. You may even have it in your hands. And with your phone, you can see it, and it'll be gold sparkles. And it got all over her body. And the reason that happened, I believe, was because I shared a testimony of a lady that had that on her heart after I left South Africa. And when she went to the surgery to have heart surgery, like, what are you doing here? There's nothing wrong with your heart. You're healed. all where that gold was concentrated on. Healed. It's a wonder of the Lord. I don't tell him how to do his job. I just report it. So she got home. And when she got home after I prayed for her, this is in West Compton. She goes, Bob, I'm really hungry. And the mom's like, okay, let me get all your stuff. She's putting all the products that are pre-made for her. She goes, I don't want any of that. She goes in the fridge. She starts getting everything and start eating. Healing. God healed her. It's amazing. There was a young boy, that young man, teenager, maybe a late teenager, older. His foot was severely shorter than the other one. And he was getting back pain. And his sciatic nerve was always acting up. And his hips are always hurting. I said, you're too young to be having these problems. But let me look at your feet. I think I know what it is. It's over the years and all the travel and all the places I've been. I'm not a medical doctor. Just for you to know, I'm not a medical doctor. But I am a doctor of faith. And I understand and seen things that I can pretty much say, hey, I know what's wrong. I'm not diagnosing, but I'm understanding what's happening. So I go over there and I said, let me see your feet. I had to put my gloves on. I sat beside him on the floor. I sat on the floor with him. And it was like this. Like if this was his feet, one was like this, another one was like that. I just put a camera, about 3 inches. And I said, let's pray. And I don't go and pull them or anything. I just hold them. And sometimes I do this. No, Dorothy, you're not going home. Because I do this to the ladies at this other service. They're all laughing because they're like clicking it like I'm clicking my heels. And I just do that. I just hold them. And as I'm holding them, it grows. And it's growing. And I've done this many times. And it kept growing. I'm like, oh, kind of overshot. It grew past his other leg. I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like, he goes, don't worry. We're going to fix this. And I said, maybe God do this one next. Well, I'm going to get this one pulled out. Don't worry. Let's go. Oh, there it goes. You're going to be taller. 3 inches taller. He stood up. His dad and him, you see eye to eye. And now he's looking over his dad like this. And I'm like, and he's like, Dad. He goes, yeah. He goes, I don't understand how that happened. I go, well, I kind of overshot it, so I had to fix it. So I can't push it back in, so I have to just keep going. Good thing they make you a 7-footer. He's like, man. He goes, his dad's like, oh, he's going to really have fun on the basketball court now. But you see, God is good. You believe. The lady in Eagle River that had lost all her sense to taste and to eat and to smell after COVID. She had come. Contracted COVID and it tore that up. So I went there and I prayed for her, and it was really brief that I prayed for her. She went going home and she's like, I smell donuts. And she hasn't smelled for like 3 years, however long COVID's been, 2 years. And she's like, what? He goes, pull over right now at the donut shop. And she went over there. I am gonna eat something and I'm gonna taste it. Now she hasn't tasted donuts for like 3 years or whatever. So she got a donut and she's like, Oh, it's so good. Because God healed her. And on the way back home, the following night, or the same night, there's a dead skunk. And she said, a skunk. Everybody's freaking out about the skunk. And she's like, I could smell the skunk. God healed her. It's amazing to see what God does. It's amazing to see how God does it. And I'm going to close with the last, well, a couple more here. And when I was in Argentina, the power of technology is able to take the gospel and able to heal. Amen? The power of technology has opened up our reach, right? I have many people healed on radio, many people healed on television. I've had many people healed. I recorded an episode for Sid Roth. It aired 1 year after I recorded it. 1 year. The lady that watched it, when I said, if you have a back problem, I want you to touch the screen right now. She did, and she got healed. A gentleman that bought my CD collection of 3 CDs of Healing and Miracles, he bought that CD collection, and he's sitting down and listened to him in his house. I didn't jump to him, open to him, sorry. And so I'll finish. And so went over there, and he went and put the next CD on, and he has railing on his house because he has to use it to walk around. He goes to the restroom. He goes to get some more water to drink. As he's walking back with the water to drink to sit down and listen to the next CD. This is our first CD. The next CD, sitting down, he looks around. He goes, no way. He puts his glass down. He stands up, walks around the sofa, walks around the house. God healed him as he was listening. God healed him as he was listening. The other day, I posted a video. Something about Baxter. Amazing. We had over 800 people in one service, backs healed. Three lines of people in the first service that we had 500 people, no, 400 people get healed in that service. The last service, we had 800. And I did it differently because there are so many people. I just had them stand where they were at. I just took this group and that group and made one line of 100, had them do the things I would do, have a little make you do a few things, and then make them move around, and they all finish off with a hula hula. And they're healed. It works. So I haven't changed it. And all I said, is anyone out there needing healing? Anyone else out there? Oh, anyone else out there that their backs are healed, that what didn't come up front, and the people were waving that they were healed, that God healed their backs. It's amazing. So there's a lady that's seen that video online, posted online, just this is me praying for people's backs. Her back was healing when she watched the video. She texted me and put a message on the video and said, my back was healed instantly when I started watching this. There's power. There was a radio program that was airing the services that we just came back from Argentina. Was airing the services as I was live preaching on Friday night. We had 1,800 in there and in the service, but then 300 people called in on Saturday to say that they were listening, and God healed them. One of them was a lady that was paralyzed. She was at home. She sent us a video of where she was at. She was at the bodega, the stores. And she said that during the video, her son comes and starts asking her, what are you doing? What are you out here? You're supposed to be upstairs. And she looks at her son and says, No. For years, I've sat in my chair. I could never go down the stairs. And this man has the most beautiful apples here. And I look at those apples, and they look pretty good. Whenever I get to get off this chair, I'm going to give me an apple one, or tell someone to bring me an apple, and she never does. She goes, well, as soon as I heard the man of God preaching and he started talking about backs, I felt the power of God hit my body. And I stood up, and I went, got my purse, walked down the stairs, and bought me that apple that I always wanted to buy. And now I'm not going back upstairs. I'm going to go shopping in the neighborhood. So God healed her. God healed her. It's amazing to see how technology does this. But really quick, four last miracles really quick. And it's this Amelia in South Africa was dying. I'm going to go off the camera for a second. Go. Sorry. I sent her one of these handkerchiefs. Acts 19, 11, 12 talks about the handkerchiefs, the power of God, how you put faith off your body, or you put it on Paul's body, he sent it out to people, and they were healed, and they were delivered. Amen? I looked into that scripture again. Now, I always taught that they were healed and delivered. Amen? But then I look, Paul never prayed over it. They said there was on his body. They took it off his body, they ate it. Then another thing says, it never said healed, it never said delivered in the King James. All it says was the demons left and sickness left. What I learned is God's presence is amazing. It's powerful. And he gives us all our own anointing, but it's God's. And when that apron hit the place, hit the kitchen table, sickness said, Paul is in that room. And remember the word of God says, just three verses down, in Acts 19, 11, 12, maybe verses 15 or 16, says, the demons do. They said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? They knew Paul. So they said, hey, Paul's in that room because his presence was there. His anointing was there. They said, I'm not messing with Paul. Sickness walks away. The demon comes on the body of the person that's coming in. He goes, why are you leaving? Paul's in there. He looks in there and he can sense Paul's presence because I don't see him, but he's here. God's presence is amazing. When I was traveling this one time, my aunt called my mom and said, send David back over here. And he's like, what do you mean? See, she was sick. She was in her bed. She goes, your son was here. And now he's gone. And her son, my cousin, said, "No, Mom. David don't know where we live. We moved." She goes, "No, I seen him. I talked to him. He prayed for me." So she explains to my mom that I was awake. I said, "I love you. You're going to be fine. Don't worry about it." When I said that, she seen an angel come out and kiss her on the forehead, and her body was healed. And she's like, she goes, he's not here. He's not in Houston. Well, where is he? He's in California. He's on a cruise. He's doing a healing service, and he's going on a cruise with his wife. They're probably on a cruise by now." And she's like, no. "You know, since that boy was born, that he has an anointing on him. And you can smell that anointing. And you can smell God's presence on him. You know that. When he left my room, I could smell his anointing. His. I could smell it. I take baths, I promise. But I could smell it. He was here." She goes, "I'll tell David, but I know he's on the cruise." She goes, "Okay." So my mother passed away maybe 6 months later. And I was we're at the burial. And she's walking off she's walking off with my cousin. And I'm trying to catch up to her. So from here, maybe to the door, you know, that far behind me. I get about maybe midway towards her, and she stops. Now, she's blind. Legally, she's blind. She can't really see much of the light here and there. She turns around. Goes, "David." I go, "Ed Curlin, how did you know I was behind you? I can smell your anointing. I can smell that you were coming from behind me." Like, "Oh, that's amazing. That's cool. Did your mom?" She goes, "Did your mama tell you what I told her?" I'm like, "What?" I go, yeah, she told me everything. She goes, "Well, I didn't tell your mom this. But when you stood there," she goes, "you were thinner and you were wearing a black and blue jacket." And I'm like, "Oh," I'll go, "okay, amen." Looked at my cousin. He goes, "It's black and blue." And she goes, "Yeah. And it's the jacket I was wearing for the service. And it's the jacket that I took on the cruise. Because you know you have to have a dinner jacket for some of the things. So I took that jacket because I was doing a healing service and I was going to use the same jacket during the cruise." And I looked at my cousin. I go, "What happened?" "It happened." And he's like, "God's presence is amazing. Amen. God's presence is powerful." I said this to Amelia in a hospital during COVID. They put it in her pillow. And the next day she woke up without liver cancer anymore. They're so excited, they left and they forgot this, right? Another young man was placed in that hospital, had leukemia, was placed on her bed. In the morning, he woke up with no leukemia. God's presence is amazing. Daniela and Lucy both had scoliosis. Both of them had scoliosis. That's the curvature of the back, curvature of the legs, and they just, they're all just bent. Daniela said a waterfall pushed her over. First trip to Mexico. Later on the floor, the water came above her nose. It became like oil. Then it became hot. She couldn't bear it. She jumped out of it. Snap, snap. She grew. And her back was healed. Her legs were healed. Lucy was at the service in Argentina. And I put this in her hand before I was leaving. I said, "I want to give this to you." I put it in her hand. She had scoliosis. I put it in her hand. She started to pop. Faith has a sound. Elijah said, "I hear the abundance of rain." He doesn't see it. He's not here. So when it comes from the supernatural to the natural, there's a sound. So her body started popping. I put this on her back. And her mom can't put it everywhere. So wherever she has pain, she started putting it on her back. When she went home, I was at her house because that's where they're cooking the food. And I was talking to Dad. And he was just like my grandma, because my grandma talked only English. I'm talking to him, and he's like, aha. It's like, don't understand me. And so I tell him about this young lady that got prayed for and everything. He don't know what I'm saying. Well, his daughter walked through, and he goes, "Lucy, come here." She came up to her. She goes, "When you left, we were eye to eye. No, when we left, you were right here to me. You're right here to me. Now we see eye to eye." She grew 2 inches, because her back was deep. Her legs were healed. She had no more scoliosis. And then in Wisconsin, this one man, young man, had a face disorder so bad. This is my first time going to Wisconsin about 5 years ago. And one of the first great miracles I've seen, I'm praying, the pastor sitting right there. I asked the young man, what does he need from the Lord? I could see his face is all disfigured, torn in different places. Many surgeries, none of them ever fixing him. And that was the last surgery. The doctor said he couldn't have another surgery. Walked up to him. I said, what do you need? He goes, I want to be normal. I want to be made whole. I asked the pastor to give me some oil. He did. It popped up like a champagne bottle for some reason in the air. When he opened the bottle, it just all came flying. I caught as much as I could. I looked at him and said, I'm going to baptize you with oil. You want me to make you a supermodel? He goes, yes, make me a supermodel. I said, in Jesus' name. I threw the oil on his face. His name's Bond. That's his name. Bond Lamb. And it hit his face. And as soon as his face, now, before, it was real hard and prickly, like almost like a rock with spikes on it. I smacked him like that. And as soon as I did that, it became so soft. And I'm moving and massaging his face. I'm like, do you want me to make you a supermodel? And he's like, yes, make me a supermodel. I'm like, all right. And I'm going like this, and then Pastor Gary was sitting there, and he's with the Lord right now as well. But he jumped up and said, his plate bones, set bones are moving. So I stepped back, because he could see it on that side from behind. So I moved. I stepped aside and just looked at it. One plate went down. One plate went across. Another plate came up, and his face was moving. Now, he still had a little bulge over here, a little movement on his there. I said, God will heal that in time. But God has done something tonight. We knew we got to the mirror. I said, go check out your face. He ran to the face, and ran to the mirror, and then he's looking at his face in the mirror, of course. And we're all in the church, and he just walked around the corner. And he goes, and he screams, I'm a supermodel! Anyway, believe is what I want you to get tonight. Believe that God's miracles are real. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray for the people online. Father, we just pray for everyone right now that needs a healing, that couldn't make it to service, or this is the only way that they can watch the service. We ask, Father, that you touch, that you heal. Everything broken, everything that needs to be healed, now, in Jesus' name. Heart disease, cancer, liver cancer, any kind of cancer, we command it, gone. Leukemia, gone. Everyone with flat feet, healed. All backs healed right now, in Jesus' name. We believe it done. Now, be healed. Now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for watching. Our next broadcast will be on the 27th of October. Amen.